Welcome to the Small Batch edition of Pop Culture Happy Hour. I'm Linda Holmes. I'm the editor of NPR's pop culture and entertainment blog, Monkey See, and I'm here in the studio on this Monday morning with Stephen Thompson of NPR Music and Gene Demby of NPR's Code Switch. Hi, guys.
Hey, what's going on?
So we are here to talk about the Super Bowl, which, as we tape, occurred last night. So I first want to talk about the actual game. The Patriots, the New England Patriots, who I think everyone can agree went into this game as the overdogs.
Overdogs.
Yes.
Played the plucky Atlanta Falcons.
Mm-hmm.
The Falcons were way ahead through a good part of the game.
28-3 at one point.
And in the fourth quarter, the overdogs, as overdogs have done through, we must admit, much of history, would not be denied. And had a massive comeback and won the Super Bowl for the umpteenth time. Led by Tom Brady, their quarterback, who, if you like a guy who smirks a lot, you're going to love Tom Brady.
He has the third most punchable face in the NFL.
I take nothing away from his quarterbacking. I take nothing away from anybody on the Patriots when I say that is a smug-looking dude.
Yeah, he is incredibly self-satisfied.
So talk to me, Thompson.
Okay, first of all, it's amazing because when Tom Brady started his career, he was the ultimate NFL underdog.
He absolutely was.
He was a sixth-round draft pick. Mm-hmm. He was not even a full-time starter in college. And now he's Goliath.
Yep.
It's amazing what winning five Super Bowls will do to your reputation and legacy. And he has won five out of the seven Super Bowls that he has played in.
That is remarkable.
Alongside his coach, Bill Belichick, who is to sour lemon biting as Tom Brady is to smugness. I think it is useful to stop, and as much as many people do not like the Patriots, I'm staring at Gene Demby, who stood up in my living room and yelled, "Everything is garbage."
Awful. Everything is awful.
Everything is awful.
Yes.
Before the Patriots had even won, like, the pass got dropped, and you're like, "Everything is garbage." And then had to like sit back down and wait for the game to end.
And then it was garbage anyway.
And then it was garbage.
Yeah.
And then
the
it
next
was
play
garbage.
Was garbage. Yeah.
Winning five Super Bowls for a starting quarterback in the Super Bowl is unprecedented.
Unbelievable.
There have been 51 Super Bowls, and Tom Brady, as the starting quarterback, has won five of them.
That is
He's won one-tenth of all the Super Bowls. That is remarkable.
That is insane.
This was the first Super Bowl game that has ever gone into overtime, even though it ended fairly quickly in overtime. It was a good game. I think had the roles been reversed and the Patriots had jumped out to a big lead and the plucky Falcons had come roaring back,
of course,
that would have been probably people would be a little more excited this morning outside of the New England area. But still, I mean, it was a great game.
Like so many things in our culture right now, yesterday's Super Bowl was a proxy for this very weird political moment.
Yeah.
Robert Kraft, the owner of the Patriots, is very close to Donald Trump, as is Bill Belichick, the coach of the Patriots, as is Tom Brady.
Yeah, Tom Brady fairly early on in Donald Trump's campaign had a Make America Great Again hat in his locker,
yep.
I believe it was.
Yep, that's right.
So it's kind of the political stuff and the sports stuff kind of got all tangled up, I think, in this game for a lot of people. And for a lot of people, particularly because it had like that big lead, and then it went the way they were not expecting. If you were a person who was not happy about the election results and was not happy about the Super Bowl results, there was a kind of like weird deja vu feeling.
Yep.
But I will say this game was highly reminiscent of and definitely is a metaphor for other comebacks in sports. So,
yeah, I mean, I think from a sports standpoint, the couple of lessons that kind of come out of this are the couple of things that people will probably be talking about for a while. One is when you have a lead, this playing not to lose will really, really often backfire.
Yeah.
Staying aggressive is very, very important. And momentum is just this incredible, unwieldy beast. I do think this is going to renew some discussions of overtime rules.
Yeah.
Because the Patriots won the coin toss and then immediately charged down the field and scored the winning touchdown without the Falcons ever getting the ball. And,
right.
You know, you can say, and many people will say, well, you stopped them on defense,
sure.
Which was something the Falcons suddenly
did not
became
do.
Very bad at late in that game. But I do think that's one of the things that's going to come out of it. What did you guys think, speaking of metaphors for the culture at large, what did you guys think of the commercials?
Yeah, so they did have a Bud Light commercial with the ghost of Spud McKenzie.
Hello, Brian.
Spuds McKenzie?
What are you doing here?
My soul can't rest when people don't drink Bud Lights with friends.
Which was particularly painful for me because I turned to my friend who was sitting with me, who was about 30, a little younger. And I said, do you know who Spuds McKenzie is? He's like, no, what's a Spuds McKenzie? And it was just this. So the Spuds McKenzie thing, you know, is kind of one of those things that I think only pays off for us olds.
Yeah.
There were a couple of, you know, the Budweiser ad yes. that had ginned up a lot of controversy prior to the Super Bowl, which sort of engenders the very controversial idea that sometimes people from different countries come together and make something.
I want to brew a beer.
Welcome to America.
You don't want it here. Go back home.
What's interesting to me is that the same kind of feel-good glurge that has always been a part of Super Bowl ads is suddenly this, like, look at this political stand.
Right.
Like, all these, like, everyone should come together.
Right.
You know? Sort of. It's weird how much commercials that have always existed that are all just like, I mean, imagine if Coke had put out the I'd like to teach the world to sing ad
today.
Now for the first time with all those, like, hippies on the hillside swaying and singing about togetherness. People would be like, whoa, that is such
a rebuke
to certain political forces. Like, it's weird how
the
cultural feel of the commercials depends on the cultural feel of the culture. Anyway, so I do want to talk about one more thing, which is the halftime show featuring Lady Gaga. So the halftime show began with Lady Gaga perched at, you know, what appeared to be the top of the sky, singing America the Beautiful and This Land Is Your Land.
Mm-hmm.
And then she appeared to lose all hope and jump off a building.
Right.
But this was not the case. She was on cables and she jumped down into the stadium. And then she sang a bunch of Lady Gaga songs. Now, the funny thing to me about this was a lot of Super Bowl shows in recent years have included some kind of surprise element. Like, surprise, it's, you know,
Missy Elliott.
Exactly.
Right.
Surprise, it's Missy Elliott. Or at least more than one person.
Yeah.
Like the famous Beyonce, Bruno Mars, and Chris Martin from Coldplay bit that inspired my favorite GIF of all time, set to Angelica, Eliza,
and
Peggy as Chris Martin sticks his head up. It seemed like Lady Gaga doing Telephone might lend itself to a surprise Beyonce performance, but, you know, she's a little bit busy.
She's having, very, very busy.
Having pictures of her pregnancy belly taken. What did you think of it, Gene?
I got to Stephen's Chicken Bowl right at halftime. I missed most of the halftime performance, except for the part where Gaga very dramatically threw her microphone at the ground.
Yeah, she
and
did.
Said, Super Bowl 51.
Yeah, she did.
I was wondering if I missed some important context. Like, she'd been raging the entire time, and I walked in, and she was just like... she was great. I mean, you know, it's weird. It's like there's a sort of echelon of performer who can do the Super Bowl, and there aren't that many of them, right? I mean, I guess at this point, it is like Beyonce and Gaga.
You have to have a certain number of hits.
Right, exactly. Right.
Right.
Katy Perry. Now we don't have Prince, so, like, the universe is getting even smaller.
It's true.
And it seemed like everything Gaga does, like, sort of, like, really, like, full throttle, like, she put her back into it.
You know, yeah.
It was great.
Yeah, I had much the same reaction. It did bring to mind the stretch of Super Bowl halftime shows post Janet Jackson and kind of pre-Prince even.
Bruce Springsteen, Paul McCartney.
Tom Petty. You know, where it was a lot of like let's bring out this like classic rock band to do a bunch of classic rock songs. And I think they got back into the habit of trying to make these performances, among other things, go a little bit more viral.
Right.
Have a little bit more hashtaggery to them than just have like a band kind of come out and rock out through its songs.
Because you're back to kind of current people where you are taking that risk that, like, Lady Gaga didn't do anything weird, but she could have. You know what I mean? To be perfectly honest, if you look around in the culture right now and the moment that we're in, you probably would have taken at least as big of a risk of something weird if it had been Bruce Springsteen as with Lady Gaga.
Right.
Like, something unexpected that would unsettle the makers of the Super Bowl.
Mm-hmm.
So I enjoyed it. I enjoy her. I think she's a hoot.
That was the point in the Super Bowl party where the TV was turned up by far the loudest.
Yes, absolutely true. All right. Well, thank you guys for coming in and chatting about the Super Bowl, despite the fact that I know that the Overdog winning is maybe not the outcome that we were all rooting for.
Not at all.
Full episodes of Pop Culture Happy Hour are available every Friday at npr.org or wherever you get your podcasts, or on the NPR One app. So thanks, guys.
Thank you.